I'd like to start out this morning with a little story that I read, and it's a story about a hen and a pig. This hen and this pig became very good friends. One seldom saw them apart. One day as they strolled about the barnyard, the hen suggested that since they had never eaten breakfast together, that they do that the next morning. Never being one to turn down a meal, the pig readily agreed and asked, "What will we eat?" The hen stood in deep thought for a while and then said, "It appears to me that if each of us contributes something to the meal in which we, there will be more meaningful to each of us." "Fine," said the pig, "and what do you suggest?" Again, the hen stood as if in deep thought for a while and then said, "I have an idea. Let's have ham and eggs. I'll provide the eggs, and you provide the ham." "Hold on," said the pig. "What you offer to contribute is the fruit of your labor. But what you're asking of me requires total commitment." So the pig would have to give up his life, but the chicken, of course, would lay an egg and as all is necessary. But that's what I want to talk about this morning, is commitment from each of us. And I think about so many times our telephone here at the church rings, and it's people that want help financially, usually. And I think about what God could do for them if they would commit to Him and serve Him, instead of just asking for a basic handout. I always tell them usually that, you know, if we give you $1,000, $2,000, it'd be gone and you'd have nothing. What God gives you is life eternal. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. God expects each of us to be committed to Him and believe in Him and to follow His commandments. The first one I would like to read is Matthew 22:37 through 40. Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Jesus says here that if we truly love God and we truly love our neighbors, we will naturally keep the commandments that He's left for us to guide us. This is looking at God's law positively rather than worrying about what we should not do. We should concentrate on all that we can do to show our love for God and for others. Next one I would like to read would be Luke 14. And 33. "So likewise, whosoever he is of you that forsake not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." You think about this, and I've heard many lessons on the subject of a builder. When he starts to build something, he estimates the cost of that project, and he does that before he actually starts to build. Well, our Christian life is like that, and we need to think about what we're involved in when we accept Christ into our life, that we might need to give up control of our time or our career. Lots of different things that we might have to give up. We might be disliked or separated from our family, but if we follow Christ, it does not mean a trouble-free life necessarily. But we must count the cost of following Christ so that we know what we are getting into and are not later tempted to drop back or drop out of what we truly believe in. That was probably my main concern before I accepted Christ in my life. I did not want to be a person that went to church on Sunday and then lived my life worldly the rest of the week. That was a very important goal to me because we see that so much in the world, don't we? People that attend church and say they live by the Bible, but they do other things that don't prove out what they say, does it? Like to look at Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God makes it clear here that obedience is more important than a sacrifice animals. He wants a living sacrifice from each of us, and he wants it daily, not just one or two days of the week or one or two times gathering together. Putting our energy and our resources at the disposal and trusting him to guide us. We do this out of a gratitude that our sins have been forgiven. I think that's very important, and each of us rely heavily on that fact that God has forgiven our sins and will continue to do so if we continue to serve him. But a total commitment puts God at the head of our life. Many of us feel pressure to do many different things at once. We have to choose the things that are most important. And too often, God is put off. We don't have to face him directly, do we? We won't see the consequences immediately. And we tell ourselves we can make it up to God later. Turning back to Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So what he's saying here is his church is first. We need to apply ourselves at church and then all the other things will be added to us or come in time. Here they are invited to follow Christ. And as we think about it, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness means to turn to him first for help. And I think probably most of us here do that. If we're to fill our thoughts and our desires and to try to make him our pattern for our life. We want to live like Christ and try to be as much Christ-like as we can. And we need to serve and obey him in everything he's asked us to do. What is really important to each of us here this morning? People, objects, goals, desires of many things. We could go on and on, couldn't we? It's very important. I think about when you look around at worldly things that people do and how they commit themselves to that. And I think it's a kind of a simple little thing, but Nicky's not here this morning, but he invented this roller coaster for a project. And I know, looking at that project that he had, he was committed to it while we was there, and he was trying to demonstrate it one evening for his graduation. Probably many of you were there too and seen that. He kept gluing together. All the little tracks kept coming apart, so he had a glue gun, and he was working very hard on that project trying to do it right. And that's what total commitment is. We need to dedicate ourselves and be committed to whatever we're going to do. We need to give God first place in our life. Matthew 4. through 22. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship, which Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. These individuals were invited to follow Christ. They left their family and they left their business immediately, as we read in the scripture. It's hard for us to understand exactly how that could happen. But they even left their fishing equipment just for a chance to follow Christ, the Messiah. The same invitation is offered to each of us here this morning. It's offered to the world, which continually turns it down. Some of us here, it's evident what our priorities are, isn't it? The offer is made to us to put on Christ, but we think, maybe I'll do that later. Later never comes with that attitude. You can always put it off. I'm sure it doesn't take much of an effort to convince yourself that it's best to wait just a little while longer. And without a commitment to God, it would be meaningless anyway. Some of us here have accepted Christ and had real zeal at first. And I remember when I first was baptized, I could not wait to be able to take part in the service. But then when I was required to take part in the service, I was very nervous about that, because I'd never stood before people before and give a lesson or tried to lead them in a direction that they should go. And I think about it, I've mentioned many times that when we sat on this front row, we would usually have an open meeting or something, and young men, I'm talking about high school age, were in this class, and here I'm in my mid-30s and I'm in this class, and I don't feel a bit guilty being in there trying to learn how to read scriptures, how to give lessons, how to lead songs, how to do all the things that I'm going to be required to do. But many times I wanted to get up out of that seat and disappear. And still today, we're all nervous when we get up here. We all have our things that bother us, but we need to be committed to God. That's the main thing. Sometimes we say, I would do that if I only had time. I read about, while I was preparing this lesson, a man had to leave home because he chose God over his mother's beliefs. Would we do that this morning or in our life? If we thought we were doing the right thing, would we leave our home and our immediate family? I think most of us would. Matthew 10:34 through 37. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Total commitment. I would say that will take total commitment. And I'd like to explain a little bit here about what Christ is talking about. This is Christ speaking here. But if we can't put on God first, before everything else, He desires our whole being, then we probably won't deserve salvation. Christians' commitments may separate us from friends and loved ones. In this, Jesus is not encouraging disobedience to parents or conflict at home. Rather, He was sharing that His presence demands a decision. Do you want to follow Him or do you not? Because some will follow Him and some won't. So conflict will arise. As we wake up, take up our cross and follow Him, our different values, goals, purposes, many things will set us apart from others. We should not neglect our families. But remember that our commitment to God is even more important than they are. God should be our first priority. Talked about in our dark class this morning about early Christians and how they were persecuted. They were persecuted. The cause why they were persecuted was the Roman emperors did so because of the fear that they might have had and the hatred for these individuals. And we are not at this time called upon to endure this great for suffering in this country just because we are Christians. Matthew 10:38 and 39. And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. That was one scripture I loved to hear when I was first come into the church, because I felt like I had found my life. I had found my purpose for being on this earth. And it truly meant a lot to me. We sing a song that your soul is hid in the cleft of a rock. That song, I always loved that song because I felt like God would protect us wherever we were. But these two verses here, we need to take up our cross and follow Jesus. Being willingly to publicly identify with Him and to face almost certain opposition and be committed to face suffering and death for His sake if that's what's required. Clinging to this life may cause us to forfeit the best from Christ in this world and in the next. The more we love this life's rewards, leisure, power, popularity, financial security, the more we'll discover how empty they really are. We need to let loose of earthly things so that we will be more free to serve Christ And in so doing, we'll inherit eternal life and begin experiencing the benefits of following Him. A lot of people are more concerned with worldly things. Luke 10:40-42. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Martha had a problem, didn't she? Worrying about worldly things. As I was putting this together, I think about our grandmas and our great-grandmas. And in their day, they used to get up, and on Sunday morning, it was no different than any other day of the week, to cook a big breakfast for their large family, maybe help do the chores, milk the cows and so forth, and probably trying to straighten up the house while they were doing all this. They would have to kill the chicken and dress it for dinner, and then get the children ready for church, then drive with the family in a buggy or wagon 5 miles to worship service and likely get there early. Isn't that amazing? That a lady could do all that. Today, when breakfast comes in a cereal box, the milk, butter, chickens, they all come from the grocery store, and the distance to the meeting house is covered in minutes in an automobile. It is almost impossible for some folks to make it on time for the Bible study. What's the difference in them two pictures? Willingness to commit on one person's part and being totally committed on the other lady's part. I truly believe that we have it too easy. Our complacency and our lack of commitment is slowly strangling our faith. God rewards those who have their priorities straight, not just an eternal reward, but there are benefits here and now. To me, our Bible VBS is usually very important every year for the young people. And to me, this was probably the lowest attendance of our VBS that we ever had. And I would also include the fact that Wade probably gave us some of the best lessons that we have ever heard. And I think he deserved better support than what he got for PBS. And I was truly disappointed in the fact that we didn't have a better attendance. I know we all get busy, we all get wrapped up, but the church needs support too. God rewards those who have their priorities straight. Not just an eternal reward, there are benefits here and now. God gives them to us every day. Luke 18:28-30. And then when he had thus spoken, he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, that's not right. Let's see, Luke 18:19. 18:28-30. Then Peter said, Lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or parents or brethren, or wife, or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. So he promises us things now. Peter and these other disciples had paid a high price, as we mentioned before, they're leaving their homes, their jobs, and following Christ. But Jesus reminds them here that following him has its benefits and its sacrifices. Any believer who has to give up something to follow Christ will be paid back in this life as well as the next. If you must give up your family's approval, you will gain the love of the family of God. Don't dwell on what you have given up. Think about what you have gained and give thanks for it. We can never outgive God. We can never outgive God. David mentioned in Psalms 84 that he would rather be a doorkeeper in God's house than to live the life of ease amongst the wicked. Commitment. I'd like to read 1 Timothy 4, 8 and 9. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of life that now is and that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. I think most of us worry about our physical being and we try to be physically in shape. Are we also worried about our spiritual body and try to keep it exercised and in place? In our world today, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there's much emphasis is in place on physical fitness, but Paul declared that spiritual health is even more important. We must develop our faith by using the abilities God has given us in the church. Properly following God's teaching will make you a better father, a better mother, a better husband, wife, employee, business owner, or a friend. I don't think one of us could go into a workplace with any one of us and not feel that we know who is following God and who isn't in their life. I think it is very amplifying when we see a Christian individual in charge versus a worldly person that's just seeking for his benefit. Christian life is not a promise of life of ease, but greater service to God and our fellow man. God does require a total commitment of each of us, even to the point of dying for him if we're called to do that. Many of us believe that we are strong, but total commitment also means dedication to God. Even when nothing opposes us, when cares of this world distract us, when friends and realities conspire against us, we need to be strong, don't we? We need to stand up for what we believe in. We need to have that hope of eternal life. And there's only one way we can get that, and that's through Jesus Christ. And we need to remember that. We need to say, Lord, we thank you for your gentle reminder of why I should live the Christian life. Why should I be committed to the Christian life? He reminds us continually through the Bible. How committed are we to God today? There are some who have never yet obeyed God's calling or become a part of His people. I wonder how much that hurts God when He sees Christians assembled and the invitation is offered and there's no accepting it, when He knows, God knows in His mind what is in our mind as we think about accepting Him. I don't know why each of us hesitate. I can remember it was not easy for me to get out of your pew and come forward when that invitation's offered. Perhaps there's something in your life that makes you think you're not good enough. I would rather not know what that thing is, but God knows. God knows our whole being. But I do know this. There is no past sin that God cannot wipe out for an obedient child. He is there to keep us from further temptations or sin. These are not easy to deal with. But Christ offers this invitation to each of us this morning to accept Him as your Savior and Lord. Accept Him into your life and be willing to be committed to that life. It doesn't require us to give up a lot of our worldly pleasures. We still enjoy a lot of them. We're able to do that. But He does require us to be committed to His church. So we offer you that invitation this morning. If you are outside of Jesus Christ and have not accepted the truth, we offer you the opportunity to come forward while we stand and sing the invitation song.